Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, I'm glad to have you on the show, man, as always.
Thank you, man. Likewise.
Thank you, man. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. We'll also talk about the latest saga surrounding the Knicks as they, after they fired Mills, they have a new GM in Leon Rose, and basically the state of the Knicks. We'll also talk about the Mets and their latest state of the team as they enter spring training and the Steve Cohen drama. We'll talk about that. Of course, we'll talk about WWE. With Goldberg challenging Bray Wyatt to the Universal title and all the other WWE news, and we'll give you our thoughts on the Oscars, some of the Oscar nominations and who we think are gonna win. But also, most importantly, you guys know the number. Feel free to talk about any of these topics and more, because. Obviously, if you've been following this show for 11 years now, it's basically, about sports and entertainment. So you want to talk about any of these topics we're covering or more, feel free to chime in. But, let's start with the Super Bowl. And, yeah, man, it was a pretty impressive Super Bowl. This one's gonna go down in the ages. You had two young quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes, and of course Garoppolo with the 49ers battling it out. And as we all know, the Kansas City Chiefs ended their 50-year drought. And basically, they have their second ever Super Bowl victory over the 49ers. And it was one for the ages. If my memory serves me right, I think the final score was 31-20, which isn't that far off from my prediction. I picked the Chiefs to win 35-20. So I wasn't too far off, but most importantly, Patrick Mahomes, man, the whole series, he just kept coming back from 10 point deficit, and the Super Bowl was no different. In the third quarter, at the halftime they were tied 10-10, and the third quarter, Mahomes looked a little rattled, but. Like Mahomes said in, his post-game speech, his team believed in him. Coach Andy Reid believed in him like they did all year, and he got him out of the situation. The whole team, was a team effort. And, the MVP live up to the moniker. And like you and me, Mac, we thought last year he could have won it if Tom Brady was in his way. And with Tom Brady getting knocked out, in the first round by the Titans, You know, this was Mahomes' championship to take, and he did that. So congratulations to, you know, Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, the whole entire, you know, organization and the fan base for the victory.
Yeah,
what's your thoughts?
It was definitely one of the best Super Bowls that we've seen in a while. Definitely better than last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they're a talented team. They probably have the most talent, you know, in the NFL, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, all throughout this postseason, you know, they were down by 10 or more points, and they came back against the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
In that AFC championship game, came back against the Texans in the semifinals, you know, and then they do it again here in the Super Bowl, where you thought, you know, they were down. Well, I didn't think they were going to lose that game anyway. Even if they were down by 20, you know, I had faith in the Chiefs' offense. They're so good offensively that, you know, no lead is safe, you know. So, yeah, even when they were down with under 9 minutes to go, down by 10, I thought they could come back, and they did. You know, even though Mahomes threw two interceptions in that game, you know, that still didn't faze him. You know, this guy, he may be 25 years old, but you know, he plays like a veteran guy, and he managed to lead his team back, and you know, they come back and win it 31-20. The Niners, their offense just—I don't know what happened to their offense in that fourth quarter—but you got to give the Chiefs defense credit. The Chiefs defense did shut them down there in the fourth quarter, and yeah, I'm just happy for Andy Reid, man. It's a—he's been in
time.
The league for so long. He's—you know—he's one of the winningest coaches in NFL history, and now he gets this—he gets a Super Bowl to cement his legacy. You know, so I'm really happy for him, and yeah, congrats to the Chiefs. They really deserve it, and this might be the start of a dynasty, especially now with the Patriots crumbling and, you know, them having holes in their team right now. So I think the Chiefs are going to be the team to beat going forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that, you know. I mean, never count out, you know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots, but yeah, man. Mahomes looks like he's the new face of the NFL. You know, he definitely cemented that with his performance. You know, in the regular season and in the postseason, most notably the Super Bowl. So,
Yep.
I mean, the Chiefs are the team to beat. You know, so. You know, again, congratulations to them. You know.
Yep.
And, you know, the 49ers, they failed to win their sixth title, which would have made them tied with the Patriots and Steelers. I think Steelers also. Steelers and Green Bay, probably.
I think Steelers and, yeah. Isn't it Steelers and
I think it's Steelers and Patriots, probably.
No, Patriots only have five.
No, but wait. No, don't Patriots have six?
Oh, yeah, they do have six. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have been had the 49ers won, they would have been tied with those teams.
Right.
So, yeah, man. They just got to go back to the drawing board next year and try to win it all. Find a way to stop Mahomes somehow. Get that.
All the Niners, they have a good young team, you know. So
yeah, this could be a rivalry in the making right now, right here.
Yeah, possibly.
But as us New York fans, we're hoping the Jets and the Giants could stop these guys from repeating. But you know. We'll see what our teams do in the off season. But again, you know, congratulations to them.
Yep.
But yeah, here goes the congratulation part of the show. Now we're going down to the unfortunately, the main topic of this show. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, let me look at the envelope. All right, here we go. And the Oscars for the worst sports ownership in history. Here are the nominees. The Mets with the Wilpons. Okay, with the Knicks, we have James Dolan. With the Jets, we have, you know, the Johnsons. Not to mention other teams that won't be named right now. Okay, here's the envelope. And the winner, the Oscars for the worst run organization, is what? Is this true?
It's a tie.
It's the Mets and the Knicks.
It's a tie.
The Jets were close, man. They're in that, they're running, but the Mets and the Knicks, wow. I don't believe it. Well, I guess the Dolans and the Wilpons aren't here to accept the award, so I'll accept it on the behalf. You know, they gave me a lot of grief, so I guess I'll take this award on their behalf. So I want to thank you for all the grief these owners have given me and all these diehard New York fans. So my words, there's no words I could explain what I'm about to talk about on this show. Where should I tip off first? I guess we'll, you know what? Let's go with the Mets right here. I'll talk about the Knicks and their signing. You know what I'm saying? Them signing the GM Leon Rose. I'll get to that. But what's that feedback I'm hearing? Is it me I'm hearing?
What feedback?
I'm hearing a feedback with me talking.
I'm not sure.
That's weird. I'm hearing like an echo with myself talking. But I guess I'm gonna try to ignore this. But this is annoying. I'm hearing myself talking in the background. This is some super sane technical difficulties right here. I'm hearing myself talking.
You hear an echo?
Yes, I hear echo as I'm talking. I don't know what's going on, but this is extremely annoying. But yes, the Mets, you know, they got the fans' hopes up, you know, that, you know, Steve Cohen, who's a billionaire, you know, investor, you know, he supposedly a Mets fan, you know, he was going to put $2.6 billion into the deal, you know, to get full ownership of the team. Because right now I think he has like at least 6% of ownership as a minority owner. So apparently a few months ago he had an agreement to become a full-time owner of the team in the next 5 years. But as early as Thursday, you know, or should I say Wednesday, there was rumors that the deal might fall through. And on Thursday night, it came to fruition. And now if you rewind the show a few months ago when this rumor came out, as you remember, I was cautiously happy because I was like, okay, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know. They might have a new ownership, someone who's committed to winning and will actually spend the money to make the Mets, you know, the championship caliber team it should always be, because it's a New York team. It has a diehard fan base who supports the team, win or lose. But unfortunately, the Wilpons don't spend any money. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And I'm still hearing myself in the background, but I'm trying to ignore it. So I apologize if my voice is a little high right now. But this is, you know, beyond frustrating. You know, I was, you know, cautiously optimistic with the Mets actually getting an owner who actually wants to spend the money. But unfortunately, they broke the deal fell through, and there's conflicting reports that Cohen altered the amount he was going to give the Wilpons, you know, in the deal. There's rumors that the Jeff Wilpon wanted to have his, you know, his seat and his title and get his payroll from a $2.something million to $4.6 million at the end of the 5-year deal of him being the COO. And apparently the other breaking point was that even though he was giving $1 billion to the team, he couldn't have any say of what the team was gonna how the team was gonna spend it in this the next 5 years. So basically, this is what resulted in the thing. And now the Mets, and the Wilpons are looking for another person or group to buy the team from them. And yeah, man, this is my sports fandom in a nutshell. You know, expect the unexpected. You know, expect the worst case scenario, and you won't be disappointed. And you know, wait until they sign on the dotted line, and the ink dries for it to be official, because you never know what's gonna happen. And looky here, the deal is dead. And we're stuck with the Wilpons for another Lord knows how long running this team.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get why the Wilpons, I mean, if you're going to sell the team, like, be 100% in, you know? Don't half-ass it, you know? And, you know, the disagreement fell through because the Wilpons, I guess, didn't want to give full control over to
Steve Cohen.
Steve Cohen, for the next 5 years. They wanted to retain some type of control and then transition complete ownership over to Cohen, eventually. But they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to give him full control yet. You know, they wanted to have a gradual transition over to him. And Steve Cohen didn't want that. Steve Cohen wanted complete ownership right away, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's one of the main reasons this fell through, because of that. And I don't get why the Wilpons are so concerned about their investment and ownership in the team when they haven't done much for this franchise, you know, because of the whole Bernie Madoff scandal. They don't have money to spend on free agents like the Yankees are spending. And, you know, this guy, this billionaire guy, Cohen, could have really helped. You know, you bring him in, then you have a lot of money to spend. He's going to be investing in the team, you know, and this will cover up all the faults and mishaps that that the Mets made the last 10, 15 years, you know, not getting top free agents. You know, this guy would spend money and probably make the Mets compete against the Yankees, you know, for acquiring free agents to come here to New York. But now that's not going to happen because of the Wilpons' egos.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the Wilpons now are so protective of their investment in the team when, you know, when they were doing deals with Madoff, they weren't that, you know, they didn't care. You know, they lost millions of dollars because of their, you know, relationship with Madoff. And they weren't worried about their investment back then, so.
Yeah, but that, you make a good point, but the problem is the investment wasn't into the team. The investment was the money that the diehard Mets fans were spending on the team was going directly into their pocket, because they weren't trying to improve the team. Like, for example, Piazza was even going to be a Met because the Wilpons didn't want to get Piazza. Apparently, it was, you know, Mike Francesa on his show, in addition to Nelson Doubleday, who was the part-time owner of the with Wilpon, because Wilpon and Doubleday were co-owners of the team until I think Wilpons took over. They bought him out. I think, you know, what, 2002 or 2003. So basically, if Doubleday would have owned the team instead of the Wilpons, the Mets would have, fortunes would have been a lot better, because the Mets, the Doubledays, Nelson Doubleday would have spent the money on the players instead of, you know, putting the money in their pocket and just, you know, hoping that the Mets play meaningful games in September and possibly October. So now and another thing is, a similar thing happened with the Mets 9 years ago with David Eichhorn. He was supposed to have a deal with the Mets too to potentially buy the team. And, you know, that deal fell through too. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Mets. You know, I mean, the Mets have a good team. You know, they have promising young guys in Alonso, McNeil, Conforto, Rosario, you know, and of course the pitchers with, you know, DeGrom, Syndergaard. You know, they signed Porcello as a free agent, one of their top free agent signings. Probably, if not, that's probably their biggest free agent signing this offseason. Because he was, you know, they signed him to a 1 year, $10 million contract, but fortunately for him, not for us, he grew up a Mets fan. So, you know, he wanted to have a chance to try to win one with the Mets. And, you know, he's going to be competing with Michael Wacha, the former Cardinal, you know, for that fifth spot.
Waka waka.
Yeah, waka waka. Or even, I guess, even Matt, too, when you think about it. Because the rotation is DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, and then it would be Matt, and then it would be Porcello and Waka fighting it out. But then again, Porcello has a $10 million 1 year, $10 million contract, you know, and Porcello, I mean, he's more proven, even though he had an off year last year. But, the Mets, they basically got to spend the money. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. They need to spend the money, and if the Wilpons are not going to do it, they should just step aside and let somebody else who wants to win take over the team.
I agree with you. You know,
and Cohen,
put their egos aside.
It's both of these billionaires' fault, man. They both share the blame. Cohen, you know, he gave the Mets fans false hope that he was gonna save them. He's gonna be this maverick dude who's gonna spend the money and you know, change the culture of the Mets. And he, you know, push come to shove, he couldn't stomach, you know, the high demands for just these 5 years and, you know, take control of the team. You know, they're both at fault. So basically the Mets are, you know, if the Mets, the you know, these players can, you know, play over their heads and stay healthy and shock the world, you know, a lot of these guys are going to go without a championship. Look at David Wright, man. David Wright, he you know, this guy had the heart of a champion, but unfortunately, you know, injuries and this team not spending, you know, spending for him for the most part, with the exception of 05 and 06, you know, when Manaea came in, you know, they didn't really spend any money for him. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, he couldn't end his career with a title. But unfortunately, it is what it is, man. Hopefully the Mets will get their act together and, you know, hopefully bring a title in the near future. But like I was saying about this Cohen deal, I'll believe it when I see it. Now shifting gears to another team, my other beloved team, who's given me nothing but grief. And, of course, it's the only team that me and you actually root for. And, of course, that is the New York Knicks. Now, of course, how do I feel about Steve Mills getting fired? I'm ecstatic. Let me repeat.
He should have been fired.
I'm ecstatic
a long time ago.
That he's fired. Dolan loved him. Dolan thought he was so nice that he fired him twice, you know? So basically, you know, he was the guy who basically whispered in Dolan's ears, you know, in the last decade to hire Isaiah Thomas. Because I think I think he was trying to get Magic Johnson to get involved with the Knicks, but then Magic Johnson said, "Hey, why don't you get my boy Isaiah Thomas?" And then that the rest is history. And then, of course, you know, the Isaiah Thomas had the scandal, you know, at the Garden. And, of course, all those guys were surrounded in that scandal. They fired him, and then they hired him back a few years ago. And, you know, basically, you know, the last 20 years of the Knicks have been a disaster, you know. Ever since Van Gundy left, The Knicks have been a disaster since, 2002? The Knicks have been a disaster with the exception of that, the 2013 year? When they had Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, and those guys. Other than that, the Knicks have been nothing but, I mean, they've been an utter embarrassment. And there's no end in sight. Okay, they fired Steve Mills. What do I think about Leon Rose? Well, same thing with how I felt about Brody Van Wagenen with the Mets. I felt that they should hire somebody with experience. Unfortunately, both teams went in a different direction. They want to go outside the box and hire, you know, super agents, guys who are familiar with, you know, working with GMs, but also have A-list players. So my thoughts is, since they're not going to go a veteran route and hire somebody like Jerry West, Colangelo, of course they can't get your Jiri because the compensation would be ridiculous that they have to get the Raptors. At least
that's the guy,
two
that's
top
the guy I'd
picks.
Want.
Yeah. But that is the guy who Dolan wants too. Dolan wants your Jiri, but the competition is too ridiculous. It would have to be at least two number one top draft picks at least.
Right.
So that's why he couldn't get your Jiri, even though that's in his heart of hearts, according to all the reports, that's who he wants to to be the next president of the Knicks or GM of the Knicks. But basically, if they were going to go that route, you know, of not hiring an established GM, then Leon Rose, I guess, is the best option to go to because, you know, he's a super agent. He has a great relationship with all the players, with the coaches, you know, like Van Gundy, John Calipari, who said that he's going to stay, you know, in the college basketball, but he'll help him out any way he can, you know. Mark Jackson is a possibility as a head coach. I mean, Mark Jackson has been rumored to be with the Knicks ever since he got fired by the Warriors.
Yeah.
The year before they hired Steve Kerr and, you know, won it all.
I don't know why the Knicks haven't given him a shot. I mean, this is why the Knicks are one of the worst organizations, not only in basketball, but in sports.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have this guy, Mark Jackson, who's just sitting on the sideline. I mean, yeah, he's doing broadcasting, but he would love to go back into coaching. The Knicks are not even giving him a shot. You know, and that's why Steve Mills deserves to get fired, because he's done a horrible job as the president of the Knicks. There hasn't been any good that's come out from him being in that position. I mean, he hasn't drafted well. He hasn't traded well.
Mm-hmm.
And we just traded a guy who wanted to be a Knick, you know, and you go ahead and trade him and get what? A draft
Morris.
Pick and Morris, but you haven't done anything with the draft pick. So, what? I mean, why should it be any different these upcoming years with these draft picks than it's been before? I mean, I don't see anything changing.
Yeah,
so,
I'll even add to what you're saying. I mean, we had the big deal, you know, we traded Porzingis so we could get enough cap space so we could get superstars to come here. But obviously, we all know no superstar players want to come here because our talent is basically barren. And you know, nowadays this is the modern day NBA. You don't need to be in New York to make money. You know,
mm-hmm.
So the players, they don't want to have, you know, a lot of these players, they don't, you know, they don't want to stomach, you know, being the man. You know, they want to make money like the man. You know what I'm saying? But they just want to create super teams, you know? There's very few players, I mean, like you said, there's very few players who want to come to the Knicks. And we're just talking about, you know, decent players like Randall and Morris, who wants to come to the team, you know? I mean, the superstar players, they don't want to come here. We would have to – this organization would have to do a complete 180 for these superstar players to come. And like we've been saying for 11 years on this show, we'll believe it when we see it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, LeBron was supposed to come here. Dwayne Wade. Durant. Everybody and their mothers was supposed to come and play for the Knicks, but everybody keeps playing us, and now we're supposed to believe that the Greek Freak is coming here. Why? Because we're gonna have some. We're supposedly gonna have cap space. None of these people want to come here. The only way people are gonna come here is if we literally, you know, start drafting well. Use the 7 picks that we have, and actually do something with these picks and draft well. And the only way, with the same thing with the Mets and the Knicks, if you're gonna draft a rookie GM who doesn't have any experience, you better make darn well that everybody underneath that person has experience and they're the best of the best in scouting. You know, whether it's international or domestic, you know, scouting people, they have to be the best of the best to so that the rookie GM/president can learn, you know, at the job. Because in the city of New York, you have to have, in the perfect world, you have to have a GM and a manager/head coach with experience. You can't have both guys inexperienced. You can have a experienced GM with a rookie manager, but really the other way around. You know what I'm saying? You have to have somebody of experience in the thing, or else it's just gonna blow up in your face.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, the good thing is, De'Aaron Rose, he's very respected. You know, he's been a super agent for like 20 years or so, and apparently he's gonna hire Worldwide West, a guy, an influential figure, you know, who has the respect of the NBA players. I mean it's a start, but the most important thing, the Knicks have to draft well, because they've been, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, but they have a few decent players, but that's not enough. That's not enough for people to, you know, take, because there's a special breed of people who play in New York. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully the Knicks can do that. But that's the theme of today, man. We'll believe it when we see it. We'll see what happens.
Well, the Knicks, they have to start winning, you know, above all.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not winning, then, you know, things are going to continue to be the same, so.
Yep. And you know what's the funny thing is? The Knicks won today, 95-94 against the Pistons. They're on a 4-game winning streak. But,
wow.
You know, it's, I mean, they got to, I mean, it's a start, but, I mean, come on. Like, they have to sustain, the young guys have to be, you know, have to show that they're progressing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we got RJ Barrett, but, you know, Nil Aquino, he has to be more consistent. Kevin Knox, I mean, that's another one. I mean, Mitchell Robinson and RJ Barrett are like the only two like legit bona fide guys who, you know, who you clearly see they have a future on this team.
Right.
But they gotta, this team have to get their act together, man. And they gotta draft strong. They need some superstar. They need some elite superstar players, man. Whether it's to their draft or free agency. Because this thing is not going to change anytime soon.
Well, you know, they couldn't get those superstars this past offseason. So, again, like, what makes me think they're going to get superstars the next season or the season after that? I mean, they just have to win, man, and just continue to build, you know. But don't worry about getting top free agents right now. Just
kind
of win with this young core and, you know, try to build something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got to develop these guys. These guys have to have playing time. Like, this is Nil Aquino's year to prove himself.
And Nil Aquino's a waste.
He is a waste, but they stuck with him. The trading deadline is over. It ended on Thursday. You know, when we traded away Morris. You know, he was a good Nick, but, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't hang on to him because, you know, he's going to be a free agent, and they wanted to get something for him. They got Mo Harkless, who has history playing college basketball in New York. He's going to wear number 3, which was Marbury and Stark's number. So that's a lot of pressure right there on the guy, you know. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with him. What was I gonna say? But yeah, the Knicks have to draft well, but until the season ends, these guys have to play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Randall's playing time has to be cut short, or he gotta be moved around or something to make some room, because I mean, yeah, he's averaging like I think 18 points or so in this winning streak or so, but you know. I know we have him for 2 more years, but Randall's not the future of this team. You know, he's when the Knicks are the Knicks, Randall's most likely not going to be on this team. Or best case scenario, he'd be like a fourth option. You know, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the thing is, Randall, he turns the game over too much, and he needs to play that defense.
I can't hear. I can't understand what you're saying. You sound like Kenny from South Park. What is wrong with this audio? This is the worst audio we've had in 11 years of this show. I hear you a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying that. Randall needs to.
Oh no, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. This is how you sound, man. This is exactly how you sound. I hope the fans, I hope the listeners out there can hear you a lot better than I do. This is how you sound. You sound like a cross between Cartman and Kenny. That's exactly how you sound. You said really, I'm assuming you said. This is really bad. I hope when I'm playing this thing back, it doesn't sound like this.
Do you hear me now? Hello?
I hear you say hello, but you do not sound like how you normally sound.
Okay.
I hear you a little bit. Talk. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was saying that Randall needs to cut back on the turnovers, and he needs to play better defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now I heard you a lot better, but now you sound like Scott Mockelson. This is like a South Park addiction. It's like you're doing. I hope you're doing voiceovers because you're doing like you're doing your voice is totally off, man. But yeah, let's shift gears to WWE. So, what's your thoughts on Goldberg fighting Bray Wyatt?
I didn't see the match, but I heard about it. Did you see it?
No, nobody's seen the match. It's gonna be at the Showdown.
Oh,
when
I thought
is
it was
the
when is it tonight?
I don't think
tonight.
So.
Oh.
I don't think it's tonight. I'd even check to see what day it is. No, they couldn't do it tonight.
I thought it was.
It's in Saudi Arabia. Is it? Is it Saudi Arabia?
Oh,
they couldn't have. That would've been a balling jet. If they could fly all the way from there to Saudi Arabia after they're doing Raw. I mean SmackDown. Yeah, it might be next week or so. I don't think it was there today.
Oh yeah, I see. It's February 27th.
But yeah, well, I mean they never fought each other, so I mean that'd be interesting to see. But yeah, Goldberg, he's been just basically fighting Saudi Arabia all this time. He fought against Undertaker in a horrible match. I haven't seen the match, but eventually I'm gonna see it out of curiosity. But yeah, basically they'll fight each other for the first time ever. And I mean, you know, I guess it'll be interesting to see. You know, but. Yeah, Goldberg has nothing to prove anymore. You know? Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, I hear you a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's, I guess it would be a good match, but Goldberg needs to hang it up, man. He's going to
play. Yeah, I hear you, man.
I mean, this would have been a good match, like, 15 years ago, and Bray Wyatt was Bray Wyatt was in the WCW or in WWE, but you know, this is like, I don't know. Goldberg, I think he needs to hang it up, especially, you know, from watching that Undertaker match last year at Super Showdown. He definitely needs to retire.
And who's ever even an in-ring technician to begin with?
Right.
But, I'm trying to think who would be the perfect opponent for him to end his career with. I mean, other than Brock Lesnar.
I think it was the Undertaker. It was Stone Cold.
Yeah, well, yeah, but Stone Cold's not coming out of retirement. But, yeah, Stone Cold would have been the perfect person for him to end his career with.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Stone Cold's not coming out of retirement.
That Undertaker match last year should have been his last.
So, yes, sir?
That match for Undertaker last year should have been his last.
You said something about Undertaker?
That match with Undertaker last year should have been his last match.
Oh, you said the Undertaker match should have been his last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I'm surprised he came back, to be honest with you. But I'm trying to think why this stuff happened. Charlotte hasn't made her decision yet, to my knowledge. But apparently she's going to make her announcement on the backstage show. Because she basically, she went on NXT. It appears she was going to challenge Rhea Ripley, or actually accept Rhea Ripley's challenge for the title. But she got jumped by Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. So she still didn't make her decision. But you know, Charlotte, I mean, whoever she fights, you know, be an interesting matchup, especially if she fights, you know, Rhea Ripley. That'd be the first time the NXT title would be, you know, on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think she's gonna be fighting Ripley.
Yeah, I think so too. But well, I'm trying to think what else happened on WWE.
I didn't see SmackDown yesterday.
Yeah, I just watched it. I watched it earlier today. What was I gonna say? By the way, Buddy Murphy, his name, WWE changed his name.
WWE changed his name?
Yeah. Now he's just known as Murphy.
Big difference.
I know, WWE, they just keep cutting people's name. Alexander Rusev is just Rusev, and apparently he's off TV because WWE, quote-unquote, creative, has nothing for him. They can't think of anything to give this guy. Why don't you put the title on him?
Yeah.
Why don't you think? I mean, these guys, they have all the talent in the world, but they don't even use them. How's Rusev, Cesaro, Big E, how are these guys not fighting for a title? Bobby Roode. They have so many guys who are championship caliber guys, and they don't even give them a title shot. But yet they just keep putting the title on Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. Like, it's just the same people keep winning the title over and over again.
Yeah, I agree. You need to give these other guys a shot.
They finally put the title on Bray Wyatt again, but that was basically because the fans was basically about to riot because they may have that stupid match with Seth Rollins, you know, where Seth Rollins was getting his butt kicked but somehow retained the title, and then they did a Maricopa and finally put the title on him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. I'm trying to think what else happened on SmackDown or Raw. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
By the way, have you heard of this latest story in the Houston Astros cheating scandal?
What you said?
Have you heard this latest scandal? This latest development in the Houston Astros cheating scandal?
Oh, you mean with AJ Hinch talking about it, sharing his thoughts about it, like he tried to stop them, but he couldn't, and basically that's how the thing blew up or something to that effect?
That too, but the Wall Street Journal yesterday published an article where they investigated letters between the Houston front office and Hinch and players. And it looks like the Astros, they had been cheating all the way back to 2016.
Wow.
A year before that. And they had interns developing algorithms and using spreadsheets to, like, decode, you know, catcher signals. The signals between the pitcher and the catcher. And they called it the code breaker.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
So they were doing Jericho's finishing move on people.
Yeah. Yeah. I sent you the article.
Yeah. So I didn't get a really chance to read it. But yeah, I did see the article. But I mean, I didn't get a chance to read it. But, but yeah. My bad. But
also today, XFL, two games were played today, so
right.
Mr. McMahon is investing millions of dollars into this XFL again, and he's gonna operate on a deficit because he's losing money right now. And hoping that this could be profitable to bring him, so he can earn that money back, or maybe even more.
Yeah, there's rumors that he's gonna even sell WWE, maybe even to Amazon.
I don't see that happening.
Apparently, the rumor is that he's going to sell WWE to Amazon.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But,
I believe that when I see that, too.
Yeah.
But, let's just gear us lastly to the Oscars. That's tomorrow night. Okay, give me some of the major categories, you know, best actor, best actress, you know, best movie, stuff like that.
Well, you know, best actor, you have Antonio Banderas, and Henry Lurie, Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix, of course, as the Joker, and Jonathan Pryce as the two popes.
Yeah, I think Joaquin Phoenix is going to win it. This is definitely his year.
Yeah, I agree. I think Joaquin Phoenix is going to win. He's won all the other awards so far, so
yeah, exactly.
I think he's going to win that. Then you have Best Actress. You have Cynthia
Erivo
in Harriet, Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, Charlize Ronan, The Little Woman, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger in Judy. I'm going to go with Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland.
I disagree. I think Cynthia Erivo is going to win it. I actually saw the Harriet movie, man. That movie was really good, and I definitely recommend that film. I'm surprised it was even nominated for best picture, but I think Cynthia Erivo is going to win that one.
Then you have best picture, Ford versus Ferrari. Ford v Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
I think it's going to be probably between 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, or what was the other movie I was thinking off the top of my head? The other movie that was... Where's the choices again? Give me. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie that I was coming.
The Irishman.
Yes, The Irishman. Yeah, Irishman is the movie I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that movie too. That was a good movie too. Man, I think it's gonna be between Irishman and what's that movie I was just. Why can't I keep remembering? It's Irishman and the other movie I was just talking about.
I think 1917 is gonna take it.
No, I think it's gonna be Irishman or what's the first movie I was just talking about?
You think Irishman is gonna win it?
I think Irishman might win it, or I'm trying to think of the other movie I was thinking off the top of my. What was the other choices again? I'm sorry.
Let me see. Parasite, Little Women, Marriage Story. Joker, of course. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, that's it. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Irishman are the two movies I could see winning. Ah, man. Which movie do I think is gonna win? I didn't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I could see it winning. Man, I haven't seen Once Upon. I guess I'm gonna have to pick Irishman, because that was a great movie. That was like a throwback film in the modern era. You know, that movie was like at least three hours long. But I mean, everything that was in the movie was important. You know, so I'm gonna pick The Irishman.
Yeah, I'll stick with 1917. And so far, it's won a Golden Globe. It's either going to be that or a Parasite. Parasite won a SAG. 1917 won a Golden Globe. But I think people, I hear a lot of this hype about 1917. I haven't seen it, but I think that's going to win it.
Yeah, I could see 1917 winning. That's the third movie I could see winning out of that list. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so that's the major. Oh, best director, Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for The Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be between Scorsese, Tarantino, and maybe the Parasite director. But let me see who would win it. Who would win it though? It would be interesting.
Know.
It would be interesting to see Tarantino actually win it though.
Yeah. I think Sam Mendes for 1917 is gonna win.
I think they're gonna go. I think they're gonna either go with Scorsese or Parasite. You know what? I'm gonna say they're gonna pick Parasite's director because you know, Oscar likes to you know, pull some you know, right beside the hat and be like, boom. You think I'm gonna do this? Nope. Swerve. Nope. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's yeah. That's basically it. You know, for the show, man. I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show.
Thank
as
you.
Always.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Sports Urban Legend. We'll be back same time, Saturday at 11. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rummel. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.